evening and welcome to Off the Wall. This is Emmanuel and I'm actually not in the studio this evening. I'm currently on a flight to Malaysia. Well, actually by the time you hear this, I will have arrived in Malaysia. In fact, I could very well be in Singapore at this very moment. And of course, that's assuming you're listening to this show when it goes over the air. If you're one of those people who listen to the show afterwards on the internet, I might even be back in New York. But the point is that right now, as I'm recording this, I'm on a plane heading to Malaysia, which is why this week the show will be coming to you from Germany. The reason for that is because I knew I was going to be in Malaysia while I was in Germany, and therefore made this show for exactly that purpose. And if that doesn't make sense, I'm sorry, it's going to have to do. So, Germany, yes, the show you are about to hear was recorded during the recent Chaos Communications Camp, a 5-day outdoor hacker gathering that took place in an old air museum in the eastern part of the country. You'll hear us wandering around the campground and talking to all sorts of people. But first, here's the official welcome to the camp. Standing in front of a bar outside. What do you guys think of this place?
It's amazing. You wouldn't get this in the States or anywhere else, I don't think, in the world. It's quite uniquely German in its approach. And it's good to come here for 4 years and just see what these guys have put on this time. And it's always a surprise.
You say uniquely German. What would you say is a German thing around here?
I think it's just the attitude that the German people seem to have towards sort of CCC and hacking in general. They sort of... It's chilled out, there's no fuss, there's no one having a fight, it's just chilled out and a really cool place.
Do you guys have any feelings on all this stuff going on now? You want to describe the scene around us?
Well, there's people moving everywhere, and
military hardware.
Yes, there's MiG fighter jets.
Now, wait, when you say MiG fighter jets, I don't want the listeners to get the wrong impression. Were we being buzzed by old Soviet-era weaponry?
No, we're on at a museum. It's at an airport, but they have these planes scattered around in the field, and they're part of the museum, and there are various rare models of MiG jets that were used in East Germany, and they're now decommissioned and on display.
You sound American.
I actually am American. From New York.
Are there many Americans here?
There seem to be a few American. There was this, there's Camp Anaconda. There was the Hackers on a Plane program where they flew from DEF CON to here. So the loudest tent in the camp is the American tent. So there are some of them there. And there's people from everywhere, all over.
I am opposed to the Americans. I like the idea that they're here, but I'm furthest away from that loud area. In fact, I'm nestled in the forest. It's nice and shady and quiet at night, and it's just kind of cool. Well, actually, every morning I'm woken up by a bunch of Germans next door. They have a little table there, and they kind of hang out and chat in German. So every morning I've been woken up to nice, gentle sound of German people saying good morning to each other and having breakfast and stuff like that. At first I was thinking of moving because it was literally inches away from my head in my tent. But then I realized, you know, this isn't going to happen very often in my life. It's not so bad.
It's for a week.
For a week, and I'm woken up by a lot louder noises in the city and various other places. So, yeah, you know, some Germans hanging out, that's cool with me. But there are so many places that you could pitch a tent here. I guess little neighborhoods develop. And, you've got the American Zone. We were in a place called the Italian Embassy last night. Oh, my God, that's... I'm going to Italy in about a month, and I got to say, this was one of the coolest experiences I've had in a long time. These people just were thrusting drinks and food at us.
And the guy that burned himself, the guy in the toga.
He didn't burn himself, that's the thing. There's a guy walking around in a toga barefoot and just talking to people about various things nonstop. While he was talking, making a point, there are other people making little diagrams with these circular candles. And they were making little arrows and things like that. And he just wandered by completely oblivious, having a conversation with somebody, walked right on top of all the candles, or two-thirds of them, or something like that, and didn't even feel it on his bare feet. And they all went out. He did that. Now, I'm not going to identify people by name, but I noticed that you're drinking a beer here, and you're American, and you couldn't do that back home, could you?
No, I could not do that back home.
How does it feel? Do you think it's too much responsibility for you to handle? Are you about to freak out with all this freedom?
I kind of want to kill people. I mean...
But there's not enough guns around here for
no,
you to do that.
There's no guns. I'm going to have to fashion my own out of sticks and...
There's fighter jets, and there's, like, some cannons around here, but I don't think they've been decommissioned.
There's also the massive spaceship you haven't mentioned yet, which is a 20-foot-tall plastic green spaceship that just has stuff coming out the bottom of it.
I'm not sure when it landed, actually.
Well, that appears at all the chaos events. Oh, here's there's a dog that just walked by. Yeah, dogs are allowed at this as well, and also babies. There's a baby over there.
The dogs are really friendly, too. The dogs are just, like, walking around. They're not doing any, they're not hurting anybody. They're just having a good time as well.
Yeah, well, German dogs are a lot more laid back than the American counterparts. But yeah, the spaceship, we're right near the spaceship, and I guess it could launch at any moment. There's a forest next to that with... how do you describe that? It's lights?
It looks like a disco ball that's being hit with a very high-powered searchlight.
Yeah, it's a disco ball in the middle of the forest. And it's circling rather slowly, so the effect is little beams of light inside the trees moving very, very slowly, very spacey, very cool, and people lying in hammocks inside the forest. And that's just one little zone. Next to that is a tent selling tandoori food, I believe. I haven't had that yet. Is it?
Yes.
And there's another tent. Well, actually, we're right outside a bar where they're making all kinds of drinks for people. Around the corner, there's this place that sells curry and Thai soup and chai, which is not to be believed. It's unbelievable. And they just are there all day making food. They go from one meal to another, and they're just nonstop working. I've never seen anybody work so hard.
It's such good food as well. That's the thing. I mean,
it really is, and they put a lot of passion into it.
Yeah, you know, you could come here and you could eat like crap for 2 weeks, but you come here, you get good vegetables, you get freshly cooked food, and it's cheap.
It is. They did a good job at keeping the cost down because they could totally take advantage of it, but they didn't.
Yeah, this is not a Woodstock type of a thing here.
This is 4 euros.
And also, unlike Woodstock, people bring their own things, and they make their own food or cook things themselves in their various neighborhoods that have popped up.
We saw a guy yesterday building a chair out of wood he'd found in the forest, just kind of like for himself to lie down and in the sun and just chill out.
There was somebody banging on an iron with a metal...
Forging steel,
that's what they're doing.
They had a portable furnace, and they were making... I'm not really sure what they were making, if it was camp equipment or weapons or something, but they were hammering on it with an anvil of sorts, and it was quite interesting to see them do that.
The hammer and anvil, right here.
Actually, in the space of 30 minutes before I came here, I saw a remote-controlled Mars rover vehicle that had a camera mounted on top of it. And there's also some people over there that were flying four-rotor helicopters, remote-controlled helicopters that had cameras on them, experimenting with that kind of stuff.
So and in addition to people flying real aircraft around here, I see airplanes taking off and landing because they're right next to an airstrip.
And it's a working airstrip. So there's private planes taking off and landing during the day.
And also the camp has organized an aerial tour of the facility. So for, I think, 30 euros, you can go up in a little prop plane and see see everything.
It's not very little.
It's a big prop plane.
Yeah. And it's pretty loud, too. Everybody turns and looks at it when it goes by.
I heard it was from the 30s.
30s and Soviet, so I guess that's the best of all worlds. All right, we're going to move to a lecture, so more sounds from the CCC camp as we progress. So what are we looking at here? An algae pond?
I think this is a Dutch group, and they've built a pond, and they're growing light-emitting algae by using sound and light.
They're actually growing this algae as we speak.
You can actually see it emitting light.
hopefully this won't be an experiment that gets out of control. And then over there...
Over there is the Austrians with the potato gun. They seem to be shooting glow sticks up in the air now.
Austrians shooting potato guns at a building. It's amazing how these things develop. I'd like to fire that thing.
And then over there we have the Italians playing human chess.
Have a try with your rhythm.
You spit my vodka.
Give your sound.
I didn't touch you. What do you want?
Go ahead.
Come on.
All right. Where is the vodka?
Give your sound here. More energy. More energy.
Come
on. Let's go. That's the Ramones. Yeah, the Ramones wrote that. Hey chaps, introduce yourselves.
Yes, I'm Naxter, from Hacker Voice Radio.
Hi, I'm Crypt, also from Hacker Voice Radio.
Did you say Hacker Voice Radio?
Yes, yeah. .co.uk.
What is that? What is that exactly?
It is a radio station for the UK community of hacking peoples, which we do live radio shows every night of the week, and also, well, supposedly, as well as video podcasting and podcasts. And we have a lot of community support things like forums and IRC things to get projects off the ground and all that sort of stuff.
So what's a typical show? You say a station. Is it a whole station or a show?
Yeah, we have an entire station.
Just a net radio station, really. Yeah. But we kind of like do it as regular as we can, which normally isn't every night. We normally try about two or three a week. So
how does the public look upon hackers in England?
Oh, well, much the same as everywhere else, apparently. They just think that we're evil people who go and steal people's laptops.
You say hacker to a person anywhere in the world, basically, and they're going to think evil person that's going to go in and hack something. And we haven't done a good job as hackers in persuading the public that that's not the case. As much as we try, it's not happening because the media are still portraying us as evil hackers. So, you know, I mean, I'm not sure how we're actually going to sort of like work on that, because, you know, it's so ingrained into the public perception that hackers are evil people that break into computers now, and, you know, it's very difficult to change that. So I think that's the same the world over, certainly in Britain and probably in America and Europe as well.
Have you guys had a conference in England for hackers anytime recently?
Yeah, we've had a couple, actually. The last one, I think, was DNSCon, which was last December, I think. Which was in Manchester, and also Continuity, which is sort of the after party, which was where most of the interesting stuff was. We've also had BrumCon, which is in Birmingham. Then we've got, obviously you have InfoSec and stuff like that, but it's not really a HackerCon, it's a sort of corporate security conference kind of thing.
We tend to have lots of small conferences and no real big conference that we can say, yes, everyone come to this because it's going to be absolutely massive. We've got lots of kind of like smaller conferences based around hotels and stuff rather than camping outside. But
do you think something like what the CCC is doing here in Germany could ever happen in England?
Hopefully. It's something we might look into doing at some point in the future. It's something we talked about. But it's generally a problem that of getting everyone together and on the same page and working together towards one project that's going to be the problem. But we can hopefully get over that and hopefully do something this big in England in the future.
I think the thing that the European community have got together is they can actually organise something like this, which the UK community just can't do at the moment. Everyone's too paranoid to actually work with anyone else.
Speaking of paranoia, let's talk about this a little bit. I was in London a couple of weeks ago, and my God, the amount of cameras you guys have everywhere watching people at all times. I mean, how did that happen? Does it freak you out? What's going on over there?
Oh, on a daily basis it freaks me out. I don't really know how it happened, to be honest.
But it just... accidental thing.
Yeah, it's just... we sort of found the technology and started using it for, you know, community spaces and such, to keep it safe and help people police the area, in theory. And it just sort of grew and grew, and so shops had it, London Underground Systems got a camera on every single corner, and it just kept growing and growing and growing, and nobody really stopped it because there wasn't anything against it.
Does it affect the way you live your lives?
Oh, well, of course, we constantly get reminded by the fact of signs saying, this area is CCTV monitored, and you think, oh, and then you see about five different cameras pointing at you, most of them from different places, shop windows and stuff like this. Does it affect us? But it does in a way. You feel a bit more of an inhibition to do things, which may or may not be a good thing. But on the whole, since I grew up in the whole idea of this, it doesn't really affect me as much as I would imagine. I mean, it certainly instills paranoia into you, but I haven't really known anything else.
So to you, this is normal to have cameras everywhere?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's true.
How did you ever even reach the view that something's wrong with having cameras everywhere, if that's all you're used to?
Well, it's looking at places, other places in the world, where they don't have as many cameras, and just seeing what the difference is. Like coming over to Germany, going through the cities and stuff like that, you just feel that you're not being as publicly watched and analysed as much as you do when you're walking around London. I mean, when I'm walking around London, I feel like a statistic. But as I said, I haven't known anything else. So walking around a European city, which is slightly less covered, you just feel a bit more like you have more freedom, really.
So why don't you guys tell me what you've been doing recently here? Any fun activities or adventures?
Well, I seem to get into a quiz show at Camp Anaconda, which I really didn't mean to do.
Explain this to me. Camp Anaconda, that's the American camp. It's named after an Iraqi base.
Yes. Apparently.
And you're staying there, a Brit. You're staying in the American camp in Iraq, which is over here.
Yeah, well, apparently...
it's just there.
Or is it Iraq? I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure what their plans are.
Apparently they're taking us all back on a nice holiday back with them to Guantanamo Bay afterwards, so...
An airplane just goes buzzing by, hopefully about to land. It's pretty low to the ground. We're right next to an airfield, which is awfully bizarre and weird. You guys are camped out mere feet away from... Does that bother you, planes landing as you're sleeping?
No, not really. Well, they don't land in the middle of the night so much.
Yeah, as long as they don't land on our heads,
yeah,
we're all right.
That's fine. You know, doing barrel rolls next to our tent, you know.
So back to Camp Anaconda.
Yes.
It's just it's kind of odd. You know, a lot of Americans here, but they're staying in a place called Camp Anaconda. They're inviting everybody in, giving them alcohol, and...
We won their quiz last night, and they still haven't given us the prizes.
Yeah, they said it would be a fabulous.
They said fabulous prizes, and we didn't receive anything. You know,
it has to be approved in Washington, and takes a bit of time.
You have to have a release form.
Well, we've opened a camp next door called Fallujah. I don't know if they're aware of that yet, but
they've got all the insurgents hanging out there. So,
you guys go to the Italian embassy?
The Italian embassy? No, I've been meaning to. I've kind of gone past there and laughed. but other than that, I haven't gone there.
So what have been some of the hot party areas or weird places to hang out at night?
The BSD tent had a party last night.
Open BSD?
Yeah, that was pretty good. We ended up wandering around there, had some decent music on. I'm not sure exactly how much I remember of it because of the large amount of alcohol I allegedly consumed.
You have no recollection of this?
No, I didn't consume any alcohol. It was all forced upon me.
Unfortunately, I do remember all of this.
Did you bring your CCTV to record it all?
No, we missed out on an opportunity there.
There is actually a load of cameras around the campsite, and I've been talking to people on our IRC channel, and they've just been watching us all the time. And I've set up a little audio bug in our tent so they can listen to what's going on. You'd be surprised. This camp is probably as well covered as, say, I don't know, Berlin.
I was in one of the big buildings last night, and I'd never seen anything like this in my life. Basically, everybody's just banging away on a drum, a drum set or tables or whatnot. I've never been in any place that has been so loud in my life. I'm counting subway cars, I'm counting nuclear power plants, I'm counting all kinds of really midst of hurricanes, places where there is a lot of noise. This was nothing. I recorded part of it. I have no idea what it sounds like, if it was even possible to record all of this noise. Oh, But basically, picture, if you will, a room filled with people, every single one of them just banging whatever is around and enjoying themselves. I mean, I don't even know how these things get started, but it's, and meanwhile, outside, people are throwing fire and eating fire and whatever else. There's all sorts of just constant, nonstop activity.
Yeah, it's great when that kind of thing happens, because it's more of an organic thing that nobody really, I don't think anyone really plans out what's going to happen, and everyone just kind of like does what they feel like and enjoying themselves, and you know,
it's,
that's what it should
spontaneous
be.
From what I could tell. So everyone, they just put a whole load of drums in the room and it just kind of happened.
And something else that was totally spontaneous was the rain that came just a little while ago. Do you guys make out okay in the rain?
Yeah, that was fine. I had to hide in my tent for a bit. And move all of my equipment off the floor, but other than that, we were fine. Some of the Americans weren't so good, though. I think they lost a few T-shirts.
It's that infrastructure. We have problems with the infrastructure.
It actually feels like a proper European hacker camp now. I was beginning to miss it from What the Hack, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to have rain, and then suddenly we've got rain. So this is now a proper European hacker camp. And
well, it's day four, and we finally got the rain, and this thing's going for 5 days, longer than any other conference has ever gone. So. Yeah. I'm pleased that the rain has finally come. Now maybe it can go away and we'll have some sun for the remaining day.
Yes, I'm quite glad that that shower is pretty short.
Just not too much sun, because I'm already starting to get sunburned.
All right, guys, I want to thank you. Any last words for the American audience?
Yeah, cheers. Have fun. And we'll probably be over there next year, hopefully.
For the last hope.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing. How do people listen to your radio show?
Hackervoice.co.uk.
Hackervoice.co.uk.
Yep, that's the one. If you go on there, we've got the link for the radio show for streaming. We've got forums. We've got all sorts of projects going on.
You can also subscribe to the podcast feed. If you go to the radio show page, you have links to pretty much every single episode we've ever recorded on there. And also you can listen in live at 9 p.m.-ish GMT most weekdays.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Take care.
Beatkatze. Du bist eine tolle Superkatze. Beatkatze. Beatkatze. Dein Bus so schön und rot, lock mich wie ein Angebot.
So today in Germany,
sounds like you just introduced a radio show called Today in Germany, right. And the audience is applauding.
Okay, so today in Germany, a law went into effect that basically bans the possession or use of hacking tools, and that language specifically, hacking tools, is in the law. And basically, every organization that has anything to do with the government and hacking basically said, this is a really bad idea. But the government didn't listen, and they went ahead and they passed it, among a lot of other things. So we're at a demonstration with lots of people who are basically saying, we're all in possession of hacker tools, and we're not doing, and it's legal, and it shouldn't be illegal. And the American camp, Americans all came out in solidarity, and I would say there's about like 500 people here, so they're just, everybody's here basically saying that's a really bad idea, bad law.
You think they'll listen?
Well, it's interesting. I think basically, they haven't defined hacker laws, so it will have to go into court, and I think as soon as it goes into court, it will, I mean, anybody who owns a computer is basically at that point in possession of a hacker tool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just a complete silly law.
It sounds like a version of the DMCA.
Yeah, basically. So
who's ahead of whom in this particular case? Is Germany more draconian than the U.S., or are they just taking lead from us?
I think basically nobody at this point believes that it actually could have happened, and so they're just stunned.
Mm-hmm. Was the camp planned for this day, or was it just a coincidence?
It was just a coincidence that the law went into effect against hacker tools today. And I mean, who knows, maybe we'll all get raided and be deported.
But that'd be a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Better than the rain.
Yeah. So, there you go. So that's what we're all here about.
Cool. Thanks. I'm going to record audio as we go to town, so don't be disturbed by this. But just try to act normally. as if I wasn't doing
it. Did you say you were going to do that in Malaysia?
No, I'm going to play it while I'm in Malaysia.
Oh.
If you're listening to this, I'm probably in Malaysia now.
Are you not?
Well, no, not now, when they're listening to this. Who's Stop that? Making things so complicated,
but
damn it.
But the people who are here right now are not in Malaysia.
No. Well, actually, well, one will be.
You might be.
Will be.
Look.
It's not.
This
now.
Is really quite simple. I'm recording this now in preview of me going to Malaysia.
In Fienofurt, Berlin.
I'm not even there.
Berlin.
I'm at a
Brandenburg.
I'm at the chaos camp, and we're trying to get out.
In Fienofurt.
Well, we're not trying to get out. That doesn't sound good. We're trying to
go to town.
That's right.
Well, not go to town and have unbridled fun, although we could, but go to town because we need to get to the ATM.
That's right.
Which supposedly.
Can we have unbridled fun after we get to the ATM?
Well, if we actually get to the ATM and get money out, yeah, we could have unbridled fun. But right now we have to get to the. Is that a smart car? It is a smart car, but that's a four-seater.
Wow.
What's the point of a four-seater smart car?
I know. Oh my God. What posers.
It looks like a regular car. Regular, normal smart car. All right, so we've ordered a cab, and I'm not sure how we're guaranteed that we're going to get it and someone else isn't.
This taker seems very confident.
You ordered a cab for how many people?
Four.
Four people. And we are four people.
Indeed.
You ordered a cab?
We ordered a cab.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the cab. Wow, how efficient.
It doesn't look like a cab, but it seems to be a cab.
It's a Mercedes. It looks really spiffy.
Sind Sie der Fan, den ich bestellt habe?
Ja. Ich warte schon auf Ehre. Aber ihr Pick?
I'm going to get in the middle, if that's okay with you. I'm sitting on the hump.
It's only three.
I can't put my foot on
it. It'd be cozy.
That was fast.
AW 16 hat seine Fahrgäste und kommt zum Bahnhof. Mit Geduld geht alles.
So what was that bit about there being a Berlin bank?
Spark ass? Is that what you mean, spark
ass?
Is it really offensive if I say spark ass because that's how it's spelled? You have to pronounce it the way you just said?
That's how it is pronounced.
Fine. Say it again.
Sparkasse.
See, I can't say that.
It's
my mouth...
It's just like what you just said, but with an at the end.
Spark ass. How's that?
You can do better.
I can. How much time do I want to spend on this? What does it mean anyway, spark? Whatever.
Savings bank. Yeah, something like that.
Savings bank.
But yeah, but no, so this Berliner Bank thing, are we going to do that, or?
Well,
why do you need a Berliner Bank in particular?
Because that was the one the guy recommended, that was the one to do.
Because why? To get more money out, or?
He said it was close, and it's not exactly clear to me why. But
perhaps,
it's not really clear to me either. And
but you're the German speaker, so maybe you should make sure that we go to the right bank.
There's a whole bunch of banks in town.
So you're saying we'll just wind up in the right place?
We're going further than suggested, but that's okay.
We always do go further than suggested.
I could tell the driver that we want to go to the town center rather than the station.
What is a bank?
I think town center sounds better than train station.
Okay.
Entschuldigung? Können Sie uns irgendwie so im Stadtzentrum absetzen statt am Bahnhof?
Wo Sie möchten?
Ja, ich weiß auch nicht genau, wie weit es weg ist vom Bahnhof. Also eigentlich möchten wir...
Ja, vom Bahnhof ist es noch Kilometer.
Ja, okay,
also
dann... dann
1 Euro, 2 Euro.
Ja, das ist in Ordnung. Also da wollen wir auf jeden Fall hin.
Stadtzentrum.
Okay, ja, genau.
Das in Eberswalde nicht so einfach, aber wir finden eins.
Okay.
Does that discourse mean that we are going to get where we want to go?
Yeah.
Good.
Apparently, Eberswalde doesn't have a terribly well-defined center, but there are a few shops and ATMs and stuff there.
I see.
Okay, good enough.
A question, how do we get the cab back?
He just asked me that. We call him again. Or if we happen to be at the station, their office is right there.
Okay. Sounds almost too easy. When's the last time you heard Neil Diamond on the radio?
Been a while.
You have to come to Germany to hear Neil Diamond.
I'm sure you could if you.
No, you really couldn't. You really couldn't because I don't think anybody plays Neil Diamond anymore. No format. He fit into. If I could, I would play Neil Diamond, but my radio station would not permit that.
Why not?
Well, I mean, if I tried, I'd get a note, and then after the note, I'd have to go to, not really a hearing, but sort of like a meeting where they aggressively question you. And I'd have
to
defend myself. Why did you play Neil Diamond? I mean, what possible message could you have been sending? And it just would get very unpleasant. And I don't know if I want to go through all that because, you know, I never really was a fan to start with.
Aren't you usually going on about how free your radio station is and how you can do whatever you want?
Well, that's when we're asking for money. We say how free it is. But now that we're not asking for money, I'm telling you the truth that if you play Neil Diamond, you're going to feel ramifications.
Right. Whew.
Shouldn't even be talking about this.
Yeah, these overhead lines, they're for the buses.
So you have electric buses in the middle of the countryside?
Oh, I haven't seen them anywhere else.
You have electric buses in Berlin?
No, they're trams.
Don't you have electric buses too?
The overhead wires there are for trams. There are rails underneath them.
Did you hear I almost broke an electric bus in Pyongyang?
No.
Well, I got separated from my group, and they parked the bus all the way across the street, and they were waving at me, and I had to run across the street, but they pulled over. The city bus passed them and clipped the mirror.
Oh.
And they found the mirror on the ground, so they ran up to the electric bus and said, "Yeah, it's your mirror," but the electric bus had a mirror.
Oh.
So then they ran back to our bus. That had a mirror too, so we couldn't figure out where the mirror came from. And it was all confusing and crazy, but it turned out that our bus had two mirrors.
Okay.
We lost one of them, and it's all my fault.
Right.
I broke a bus in Pyongyang.
But not the electric bus.
Not the electric bus, fortunately, because that would have been a city bus. And this is just a tourist bus.
Should there be a bank by now?
There should be a lot of things now. We passed
them.
I think we're getting the grand tour.
I mean, like, we passed several commercial areas.
Hmm. Not just the right one, though. Not just any commercial area.
Alright.
Not big of a sticky subject here, but how does tipping work in cabs in Germany?
Basically the same way as in restaurants, just sort of round it up a bit.
Yeah. So you're not expected to leave, like, 15% or something.
No.
Cab driver won't chase it down in the street. Alright.
Wenn Sie uns hier irgendwo dann rauslassen können, das wäre super.
The Berliner
und
Bank
kleine
there.
Schleife fahren, ja?
Okay. That's a good drop-off point, well, that would have been a good drop-off point. Going in the opposite direction.
No.
Jetzt,
oh, on the sidewalk.
In the direction where we were jetzt waren. Yeah. Weiterlaufen.
Okay.
Wenn ich gestanden habe, kommen wir zur Rathaus Passage.
Ah ja.
Da sind mehrere Geschäfte drin.
Okay.
Da bekomme ich 17 Euro.
I'm stuck.
17 in total.
Okay. Bitte hier links die Tür nicht aufmachen, ja?
Ja, yeah, okay.
Sollte es aber weg.
So let's say 5 each.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Viel Spaß noch, ja?
Bye bye. Did you try to tip him and fail?
What?
So it looked like he gave back money to you.
He tried to give me money.
Oh, okay. But he refused it. Good.
Which is, I mean, like in New York, that's the standard way of doing it. I'm going to get all these coins now.
No, I'm going to give you a 5.
I can give you a 50 if you've got change for it.
No, I have.
Nah, we're all
now
done.
I have 10 euros.
Shouldn't they have more?
Okay.
I mean, money. I'm not going
to... My bag's in the...
Are you kidding me? You left your bag in the cab?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right. Then this is a crisis.
Anyone got a phone?
I have a phone, but do you know who to call?
Well, the taxi place.
Here's the phone.
I don't know the number.
What? As he runs around the corner, where is it? He just ran off with my phone. He's going to leave my phone someplace. Where are you running to? How are you going to recognize them anyway? They all look the same. Not Germans, the cabs. All you got to do is call him.
It says press unlock or something.
Now, Mike, all you have to do is look on the receipt that you got when you paid the cab driver, and you'll get his number.
I've got the number.
You did get a receipt, didn't you?
Yeah, so I can claim it back on my taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Get my employer to reimburse me.
Might as well walk to the bank while we're doing this.
How do I? Oh, right, there it is.
You're talking to the to the microphone.
Guten
Tag, mein Name ist Gardner. Ich bin gerade aus einem Ihrer Taxis im Stadtzentrum von Eberswalde gestiegen und habe meinen Rucksack im Kofferraum liegen lassen. Okay, vielen Dank. Tschüss. Okay, tschüss. Danke.
What happened?
She'll send him back and we're supposed to wait where we got out.
Oh, really? They know immediately who it was?
Seems so.
Okay. They're sending him back to where we were dropped off. See how efficiently this system works.
All right. So, do you see the bank here?
Well, the bank is right up there. Yeah. I'm going to wait over here. Just my personal suggestion is probably give the guy a euro when he comes back with your bag.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Would be nice. All I remember about the cab was it was a silver Mercedes, but it didn't say taxi on it.
Yeah, well, that was a bit strange.
Makes it a bit harder. Could that be him? It's a Mercedes, it's silver.
Did he have that fluffy toy on the back window?
Sorry?
Did he have that fluffy toy thing on the back window?
Well, I wasn't looking out the back window, but he could have had a fluffy toy thing. He does have other people in the car. And no, he wasn't that guy. I guess there's a lot of silver Mercedes around here. That's him. I'll get run over now on top of everything else. Hang on, here he is.
Alles okay. Ich hätte auch
dran denken
können. Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, crisis averted. So the lesson to be learned here is to always have the number of the taxi with you so you can call back when you leave something in it.
Exactly.
I learned something here in Germany.
With everyone else.
They went to the bank because they didn't want to deal with us or with you. And leaving your stuff, and I just stuck around because I thought you'd be more interesting than taking money out of an ATM.
You haven't seen the ATMs here then.
Yeah, maybe that will be interesting too.
Doch ich will mein Zimmer nicht verlassen, denn ich träum von dir, Samba. Ganz alleine tanze ich Samba, so wie mit dir. Denn bei Samba denk ich, du bist da bei mir. Blauer Montag, warum musste dieser Sonntag enden? Warum gehst du fort zu einer Fremden? Und mir bleibt nur die Samba.
Hey, we're on the air. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
So we're here at the CCC Congress in... screwed up already. 3, 2, 1. Hi, Rob. We're here at the CCC camp. No, that's wrong too, isn't it? Because camp is one of the C's. All right. Hi, Rob. We're here at the... Crap. Crap-a-loo. All right, hold on.
Oh, this was the interview?
No, wait, you gotta
great
do it right.
Interview, Rob. Thanks.
Come back, come back.
For
you. So it's raining a little bit.
Hey.
That's not gonna stop us.
Hi, Rob.
Hey there.
What's
Luke was
up?
Here. Mark.
Yes. I got a full, 5 seconds out of this.
Hang on, I'm gonna take
all right,
this back.
Do what you have to do.
You have to say it rained. That's gonna rain.
Thing if we're fast enough and everybody else does.
Look at this, people running.
It's not raining a little bit.
All right.
Don't know how long this is gonna hold.
5 minutes. Leave the umbrella, please.
The rain has begun.
That Rob's under the heart of gold.
Is that good?
I'm going to run over and interview Rob underneath the spaceship. I'll be right back.
A word, please, Rob.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm a member of the press, and we're standing underneath... there's an echo in here. You hear that?
It's the echo?
Oh, look at that. We're looking up into the ship. I never saw the Chaos spaceship in this angle before, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. It's raining pretty hard. Well, it's raining for, it seems to be letting up a little bit, but people are running for their lives. This is the second to last day of the camp. How many camps have you been to, hacker camps?
I think every single one. I'm 93, 97, CCC camp 99, 2001. Was there one camp in 2003? I think there was, 2005. And this one, so this is the seventh one.
Amazing. Do you see it going in a particular direction?
Do I see it? Yeah. Definitely people are doing more of their own thing. They're throwing better parties. There's much more activity that doesn't depend on people organizing stuff for other people, but just depends on groups organizing things for themselves. That was a trend that we saw sort of starting at that, I guess, in 2001 and then 2003 and 5. But that's definitely stronger still.
Do you think the Germans do a better job than the Dutch?
I think the organizations are already so intertwined and it's pretty much the same thing. There's nuances that are different, but it's the same people do the network here as do it at the Dutch events. The same people do the lighting here that did the lighting at the Dutch events. Lots of crews overlap.
It's amazing. This is the first time we've ever had something like this on an old military airbase. And the thought of doing that in the States is just something that we can't even conceive of.
Well,
we don't have any old military bases. They're all in use.
No, there must be old places, industrial grounds. There must be places to do stuff like this in the States.
Well, if anybody knows of a place, please let us know, because we'd love to have things like this. Do you think there's hope for us? I know you've been very optimistic about the States lately.
Well, that's just because I have spent my last year doing election activism, working against the current wave of electronic voting. And that has been very successful, and people have started to really get themselves out of the hole in that respect. The systems are being audited. We're being listened to. So that's always a hopeful sign.
How does that happen? How do you get listened to?
I think it became abundantly clear to enough people that we had a problem during the 2004 U.S. elections. That enough people got together and say, we got to stop this now. And that actually got momentum and gained critical mass. Chance factors probably played a big role, but also just critical mass from having actual stuff go wrong, like Sarasota County in Florida. And
mm-hmm. What are some of the particular things that went wrong?
There was votes obviously not counted, whole results being skewed because of it, and just the complete unauditability of it, coupled to an industry that was just completely crazy, that is just freaking insane and doesn't adhere to any sort of sound design principle, doesn't even pretend to. Independent testing authorities that do absolutely nothing, rules and sort of requirements that mean nothing, just that whole industry is skewed. It's strange.
Now, of course, in Holland, you have it all worked out.
Well, we were 95% e-voting on a completely unverifiable system, and that's basically been addressed now. It's still open whether or not we these systems stick around for 5 or 10 years, but at least the problem has been addressed to the point that at least they know they have a problem and something new needs to come in.
And how about in Germany?
Well, we're hoping for the Constitutional Court, which is sort of the Supreme Court of Germany, to rule all of electronic voting in its current form unconstitutional this fall. Barring that, some similar campaign to that in Holland will have to happen.
What do you consider to be a good voting system? Is there no good electronic system?
That's a complicated question to answer. In a country that has a sufficiently simple election system, such as Holland or Germany, I think there's really little justification for doing electronic voting. That changes if the elections get very complex, if there's lots of questions on the ballot. If voting takes 10 minutes, then helping people out with computers can be a good thing. But there has to be some tangible record. There has to be something that you can actually audit and verify, and that you don't have to trust a small group of computer experts for to say, well, it's really good, trust us. But that the people themselves, if bad stuff ever happens, the people themselves can go to the polling stations and verify the count and see that it's actually done correctly.
Well, let's do a little brainstorming here, because this is something that I've always kind of wondered about. Obviously, in the ideal system, talk of giving receipts, it's a bad idea, because that leads to buying votes. You prove that you voted for a certain person. So you can't have a receipt to prove anything. But what about this? What about if you had the electronic voting system, and then something was printed out on a scannable form that you would be handed? It would come out of the machine. You'd look at it, and you'd say, "Yeah, this is right. This is what I voted for." You stick that into a second machine, and you simply count twice, and the two results should be exactly the same. And if they're not, you know you have a problem.
That's a possibility, unless the second machine is untrusted, is not trustworthy. I mean,
if it were, it wouldn't be untrustworthy in the same way as the first one, would it?
There's all sorts of things you can think of. There's all sorts of systems. We may be developing such a very system in Holland, depending on what the independent commission comes up with in October. There's a government commission that's working on sort of a new voting system.
Do you think it's possible that hackers could develop a voting system that will wind up being used by the public? Wouldn't that be ironic?
We could. There's things you can do. There's technology one can build that would improve the way elections are done. I'm really interested in how the vote totals are added up, sort of the central tabulation side of elections. And there's definitely open source software one could make to change that.
Well, we have interesting times ahead. What other battles are you engaged in?
What other battles am I engaged in? I'm thinking about privacy issues again, even though I've sworn not to do that. And I was thinking of writing a paper on some topics in that field. Other than that, I'm just basically working on the voting stuff.
Yeah, well, that's that takes a lot of time, I know, and that's probably one of the biggest issues facing the world today, isn't it?
It's definitely a big issue. I'm not sure it's one of the biggest issues. I don't put it on the same level as running out of oil, but it's definitely a big issue, and it's a serious threat to democracy if you can't see how your vote works anymore.
Okay, any words to Americans who aren't at this thing, this Chaos Communications Camp?
Come to the next one.
Which will be when?
2009,
so the Dutch are planning one in 2009.
Yeah, that it looks like that. I mean, you never know. There's no official announcement. This isn't an official announcement. It would seem logical that something would happen that has sort of a Dutch-centric thing going on somewhere around 2009, yeah.
Okay. Hey, the rain has sort of stopped, so I know you were really keen on going to the porta potty.
Yes.
I'll walk you over there.
Yeah, good fun.
Yeah, good fun.
Show you mine if you show me yours.
Well, let's not go too crazy. We're basically walking through an old military airport here. With bunkers next to us, and you were camped next to a MiG, were you not?
Yeah, my camper is standing next to a I think it's a MiG-23S, impressive fighter airplane, interesting technology we've built to kill other people. Yeah.
And I don't think you've ever done that before, camped near a MiG.
No, that's a first.
All right. This is the longest hacker event in history, I believe, 5 days.
Yeah.
Seems like it could go on forever.
Well, I think if you talk to some people in the organization, they will disagree.
Yeah, I imagine so.
This is stressing the resources. We're stressing the people doing the networks, but also doing the cleanup and the garbage collection.
All right, well, I'll continue the interview. You go to the porta potty, I'll go to the one next door. Oh, boy. All right, we're inside the porta potty now. Rob, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. But just don't do it on the air, because that's not allowed. Because United States Radio, we have certain regulations. I should point out, the first thing to do when you're in a porta potty, don't look down.
I don't hear you.
Well, I'm just saying to the folks, it it doesn't smell too bad, as long as you don't breathe in too much. But it's surprisingly all right. You just don't look down, though, because if you look down at what's been left there, it's really hard to not think about that. Rob, so what was the next question I was going to ask? Are you planning on coming to the States anytime soon? Hello, Rob?
I might. I just was there last week.
Well, you were there last week. Why were you in the States last week?
I was there this Monday, actually, in Boston. Boston for the Electronic Voting Technology Conference.
Really? So this has been... You want to come out of the porta potty? We just got in. All right, all right. I guess some people can stay in these things longer than others. So you were saying that you were in Boston.
Yes.
All right. And there's an electronic voting thing going on there.
There was a conference called Electronic Voting Technology.
Fascinating. And did the people there seem to have a clue?
Yes, there was lots of clueful people there. A lot of people that did the research that California has commissioned into three of the four major electronic voting systems. Basically, they found Sequoia, Hart InterCivic, and Diebold all had serious security problems, bugs unfixed that had been pointed out years ago, as well as all sorts of new problems discovered. And ESNS, the fourth vendor, hadn't supplied their source code and gear to the researchers. So basically, severe problems with all four electronic voting systems.
Seems like the companies could have done a better job of getting their way if they had just been a little bit more cooperative.
Well, they could have done a better job by just engineering their systems to some kind of engineering standards. This is, by any account, this software is just really badly written. It's really they did a shoddy job. All manufacturers. It would seem like there's an industry-wide problem in writing software that is even remotely good or remotely well designed.
Do you think this is just an issue of bad software, or are there more malevolent forces at work here?
No, I think mostly it's just selling software to a government customer that doesn't care, that only uses the things once a year, and all the counties, they don't know. They just know that it's been approved by some statewide independent testing authority. And this independent testing authority is proving to regulations that don't mean anything, and it's all just, nobody ever really gave it much thought, I think. There's a much wider problem of just incompetence in the way things work in the government arena than there is actually malevolence, and there is some of that as well.
I know the companies like to say that they've been tested independently, but they never seem to actually allow you to test it the way you want to. One challenge that we issued to them, which I never responded to, was to, okay, let us run an election, let us be the government, let us be the people who will try to subvert the election and see how far we can get. And they really don't seem to want to let you do that.
No, there's all sorts of things that they won't let you do. It has been a very closed system. We'll just organize this, don't worry about it, look the other way, and presto, out come the results. But U.S. elections, for me as a European, are phenomenally dirty, and the biggest crimes are in voter suppression and sort of the whole thing that happens before the election, much more than they are happening at election day. So, but part of that dirty process means that you have to worry much more about integrity of the election and the election officials and the process than you do in Holland, where I'm from.
Well, this way the system is set up in general on election day. The candidates have already been decided by other people. You don't really get a say in that to start with.
No, but there's also really big problems in, for instance, long lines in places where people are likely to vote one way, and really easily accessible great polling stations where you can just go and vote real quick, in places where people are likely to vote the other way. So there's all sorts of dirty games going on, gerrymandering, moving the district lines to meet your electoral needs. That just doesn't, where I'm from in Holland, those things don't happen. The elections are generally much cleaner. It doesn't mean there's never anything happening, but it's not as widespread. It's not a common phenomenon.
There had to be some kind of an event that made you take a very keen interest in electronic voting. What was that?
Basically, they tried to introduce electronic voting in my city, in Amsterdam. The country had been e-voting on one particular system for a long time. And our competitor came up, and Amsterdam decided to go with that. And it's a Windows-based touchscreen system. And I knew nobody had ever verified that to any standards that I would be comfortable with. So we decided to make a little bit of a ruckus.
Seems like you succeeded.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, keep it up. We'll be running into you again, I'm sure, at the camp here. Any immediate plans?
Yeah, hanging out, meeting people, and sort of seeing what's going on.
All right. Good talking to you, as always.
Okay.
We'll see you on Off the Hook.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. You've reached the end of the program. This is Emmanuel, and I'm still on an airplane on my way to Malaysia.
excuse me. Hopefully by the time you hear this, I will have arrived in Malaysia, and next week, who knows where the show will come from. Oh, and just one remark. You may have heard a little joke about not being allowed to play Neil Diamond on WUSB. That was only a joke. Just want to make that clear. WUSB does not censor people. We're allowed to play whatever it is we feel like playing. And to prove that, I'd like to go out tonight with my favorite artist. Good night.
She was morning and I was nighttime. I one day woke up to find her lying beside my bed. I softly said, come take me, for I've been lonely, someone, as though I'd done someone wrong somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know where. Come lately, you are the sun, I am the moon, you are the words, I am the tune. Play me. Songs she sang to me, songs she brang to me.